Happy Trading Thursday, everybody.
Whoa. All right.
Bad boy, Al.
Good energy, Al Melchior.
It's July 31st, 2014. Justin Masterson gets a new domain. Corey Kluber is outstanding. Felix DuBrant, he's with Theo now. Adam Ottavino finally gets a save. Danny Duffy gets wild. And so much more.
Danny Duffy gets wild. He one-upped me. That was great. Way to go, Al.
I think I have that DVD. Yes, thank you, Al Melchior.
But I even left out the Dallas does Oakland. Oh, now I didn't.
No, you didn't. Al, you brought your A game with that intro. Good stuff.
He's excited for the trade deadline. I mean, if it was like every day, you'd have this energy.
It's almost alliterative.
I'm excited as well because tomorrow we should have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. That's not just going through box scores. I like when we get to change things up a little bit. But, yeah, you mentioned Justin Masterson. And we welcome you to the show. Yada, yada, yada. Al already did that. Tell me real quick what you think about Masterson to the Cardinals for minor league outfielder James Ramsey. And Masterson will start Saturday against Milwaukee.
I don't think it really does much for him. It doesn't do much against him. You can kind of balance things out and say, well, goes from the AL to the NL. Yeah, but now he's going to a team that's scoring a lot fewer runs than the Indians have this year.
Sure.
Better ballpark. So, you know, some pluses, some minuses. But it all comes down to Masterson's just got to find some decent control.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the best he's shown in his career. He could be almost decent.
Yeah.
So if he could do that, you put that with the strikeouts and all the ground balls, and he'll be relevant again. But he's got to, hopefully with better health, Masterson could do that.
Yeah, one of our other writers here, Marty Gitlin, is an Indians fan, and he was like, what a bad trade by the Cardinals. And I said, well, they didn't give up a lot for a guy that, you know, can help them now. And I said, well, just remember what the Indians did with Jake Westbrook. I mean, they got a lot of mileage out of him after people thought he was done with the Indians. Different pitching coach, obviously, now, but maybe just to change the scenery, like Brandon McCarthy just rejuvenates him. He says, you know, you get excited. You start pitching up to, you know, you're all amped up. You start just pitching up to your potential. So maybe not for the long run it's going to be great, but maybe this season, you know, if you're in the NL only, definitely, you know, go pick him up.
How much
deep mixed leagues.
How much would you bid on him, Herc?
How much would I bid on him in Fab?
Yeah.
How deep of a league are we talking about?
All right, well, NL only. So 12-team. NL only Roto.
I think you'd have to bet like $11 or something to get him, right?
I was thinking I'd probably max out about 10.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, you might have, I know Lester's supposedly on the verge of going to the Orioles, but he's still out there. Lackey could very easily come to the NL.
Yes.
So I want to leave more money for those guys than for Masterson. I think I'd spend more than 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah. His velocity is down 3 miles per hour, nearly 3 miles per hour more than 3 miles per hour from July of 2013. I think that's been his problem all year. He's just not throwing hard this year. He was a 94-mile-per-hour guy last year on average. This year, 90-91. He had a month of 92, but 2 months of 92, but still, it's not the same. Boston traded Felix DuBrant. Wait, who's out of the Cardinals' rotation?
No one. It was a four-man rotation.
All right, so Masterson to the Cardinals and DuBrant to the Cubs for a player to be named later. Does this matter at all?
Yeah, it does, because DuBrant lobbied to start, and I believe the Cubs are going to give him that chance. They need arms. Again, it's really right now he's more NL only if he starts pitching well later in the season, but the Cubs really aren't going to be get him a lot of run support probably or give him a lot of wins, so low-end guy.
James Paxton looks like he will start Saturday at Baltimore. I will say no thank you. I think that's kind of scary.
Yeah,
for a fantasy owner to be starting him in that scenario. But I like him, and I think Herc likes him too.
Yep.
Carlos Gonzalez was out with a sore knee and ankle yesterday. Do you guys think we're ever going to get, for the rest of the season, are we going to get cargo?
I don't think so. And not this year. Next year, sure, but he's just too banged up in too many places.
And it's what happens if Tulo's out. I know Tulo's supposed to be mid-August, but he could have setbacks. Those two really need each other for lineup protection, and we've seen it before. Even when Cargo was out and Tulo was in the lineup, the average was there for Tulo, and he was walking, but no power and no RBI production.
That's a little surprising to me, because I've thought of the Rockies as having one of the deeper lineups. I mean, especially now they have Arenado back.
They were challenging everyone except Troy Tulowitzki. I mean, we know what Tulo can do when he's really healthy and really producing, so it makes sense, I guess.
Well, you guys have Carlos Gonzalez, Al 16th, and Hurick 9th. So time to move him down or what?
I'd say so, yeah. He's
Hurick?
I mean, I'll consider it, but I don't think you should trade him. I have him 9th because I think he's one of the best outfielders in fantasy baseball.
No, when he's healthy, I mean, I'll have him much better. Well, better than 9th. Can't get a lot better than 9th, but... for what he can give you rest of the season now, I think I might even have him too high at 16.
And I'm looking at the outfielders after like number 8, number 9, and they kind of stink.
Yeah.
It's weird. You're talking about guys that are underachieving.
Jay Bruce in that mix? I mean,
yeah.
He's not underachieving.
He's not? He's batting like 230.
Yeah, but that was up from when he was batting like 198 or something.
I mean, with what, like 13 home runs this year or something?
No,
he's been horrible.
Yeah, but since he's come back from the DL, he's been a lot better.
He's been terrible.
Will you help me here?
When he came back from the DL, he was doing fine. And now let me look up his numbers since the All-Star break. Are you kidding?
See, I'm more concerned about the season-to-date numbers because you could, with Jay Bruce – more than probably any other player, you can isolate.
He's hitting 094 since the All-Star break.
I don't care.
A week and a half, right?
Right before the All-Star break, he was struggling too.
Jay Bruce.
He's hitting 139 in the month of July. Yeah. Look, even for Jay Bruce, he's been bad.
He is terrible for months at a stretch.
He's batting 215 with 10 home runs. I oversold him. He was good. Yeah, he had a stretch where he was good when he came back. But overall, Bruce has been bad. Like, there's no question.
Well, I mean, we haven't had good Adam yelling in, like, what, 2 months or whatever since we did the break, the bus
piece? 2 weeks, but whatever. All right.
Are you kidding? It was 7 minutes ago before we started the podcast. I was freaking out about
you weren't yelling at us, though. But
no, I wasn't. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling with you.
Yeah, well, look where I moved Justin Upton down to. I mean, I have him, like, 18th or something like that. So it's it's nothing really to get excited about.
But just looking
at
the mix, we're talking Bruce, Braun, Cespedes, Pence. Brandon Moss, who I have in the notes, he's been cold for 2 months now. Billy Hamilton's been ice cold since the All-Star break. Al has Mark Trumbo in his top 20, Jason Wirth. So there is a big-time drop-off once you get to, like, Ellsbury at 9 or 8 for Hurick. Adam Jones, Puig, Gomez, that group. And then you're talking about just guys that aren't really performing, except Hunter Pence, I think, maybe.
Yeah, Hunter Pence is... always underrated in fantasy.
Right. I'm not giving him enough credit. All right, anyway, let's get to some trade stuff here.
Are you done with your soapbox? Can we put it away for now?
We're going to do some Grade the Trade later. You know, I wanted to do more Grade the Trade, but there's just so much going on around baseball right now. So we'll do some of that later. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. You got to please put baseball podcast or Grade the Trade in the subject line because I'm getting a lot of football podcast emails now as well. Dodgers GM Ned Colletti says Matt Kemp will not be traded, which brings us to our email of the day from Mike Barnes from Easley, South Carolina. Says, okay, Al, what do you think about Matt Kemp now? He homered again yesterday, and Matt Kemp is batting .486 in his last 9 games with 3 homers, a double and a triple. So that's the first part of the question. What do you think about Matt Kemp now?
I'm reopening to the idea that he can rebound, but you know, I did that earlier in the season and went on a power spurt. And you know, what I said at that point was, well, this is more than I expected for Matt Kemp in this period of time.
Yeah.
So he's capable of better. But then he, you know, went on to do very little for, you know, like 2 months. So,
yeah, well, Scott
Schaefer. I don't want to oversell this hot streak for Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Scott shared the same sentiment around that time. I was like, Scott, he's doing what you want him to do. He's walking. His plate discipline's there.
He was stealing bases at that point.
Yeah, even. And Scott was like, I'm still a little, you know, leery of Kemp. So you're absolutely correct.
No, we'll see. We'll see.
Emilio Bonifacio, the other part of the question, sorry, Mike, was pick 3 outfielders for a points league rest of season. Kemp, Reddick, Polanco, Duda, Eaton, Jennings.
Kemp, Duda, and I'm going to say Polanco. Am I missing this email?
It says a points league.
It's right in the first page of the notes.
So I'm going to go Duda.
You moron, Herc! Pay attention to the notes!
Duda, Kemp, Eaton.
Duda, Kemp, Eaton. Okay. Emilio Bonifacio likely to be traded. Some teams are looking at his Drubal Cabrera to play second base. Joaquin Benoit may get traded. The last 2 times Benoit's had a save, Quackenbush pitched the 8th. keep that in mind. If John Lester is not traded today, he will start Sunday night against the Yankees, but it does seem like he'll be traded today. Houston looking to move Chris Carter, according to the New York Post. Alex Rios could get dealt, and the St. Paul Pioneer Press, wow, that's a lot of P's, reports that Josh Willingham appears unlikely to be pelt before the deadline.
Are you drunk this morning, sir?
Drunk with rage. Those are your trade notes. Wednesday's standouts.
You know, I'm sure there's some play-by-play guy somewhere who's just waiting to pounce when Kevin Quackenbush gives up a duck snort.
What's a duck snort?
It's like a little dribbler.
Yeah, no, that went over our head. Sorry, Al.
I thought you were going play-by-play with the whole St. Paul Pioneers press.
Yeah, no, I went rogue there.
Yeah, you did. Wednesday standouts. Who do you guys want to talk about? I do later on. I want to talk about Moss. I want to talk about Billy Hamilton, who's been cold. I want to know how much you guys trust some pitchers like Danny Duffy, Dallas Keuchel, Phil Hughes, etc. But go ahead and start it off with your Wednesday standouts.
Well, you know, Adam likes it when I go off the reservation here. So how about Blue Jays catcher Deonner Navarro with 3 RBIs yesterday? Would you like to know what he's doing in his last 35 games, Al Melchior?
Actually, I really would.
All right. He is batting .295 with a .326 on-base percentage, .462 slugging percentage, and .788 OPS. He has 10 doubles and 21 RBI in that stretch. They, sir, are home for 6 games next week. At home, he is .296, .333, .475, and .809. I like Navarro as a sleeper in Fantasy Week 19.
Okay.
And he's got all 7 of his home runs at home.
Oh, nice. So. Nice.
Which, you know, you figured he might.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
In Toronto and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's only fitting that he had 3 RBI last night.
Well, thanks for wasting our time talking about Deonner freaking Navarro.
Come on.
That was good. Al, it's your turn to nominate a player.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like Corey Kluber's the big story, but I also don't know that there's really a whole lot more to say about him.
The last 3 starts for Corey Kluber, he almost threw 3 complete games. So last night, 85-pitch complete game shutout against the Mariners. Previous start, 9 innings, 2 hits, 1 unearned run, no walks, and 10 strikeouts at Kansas City. And the start before that, he ran into a little bit of trouble in the 9th and pitched 8 2/3, 7 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts at Detroit. So that would be 28 strikeouts to 1 walk over his last 3 starts in 26 2/3 innings. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the only question really there is with Kluber is maybe in terms of keeper value, because I doubt nobody should be benching him at this point. He should be universally owned. And I think he's a keeper. Maybe that
well,
maybe
I'm
Captain Obvious here, but I just
I just like he's a keeper, and I'm like, God, I'm sorry.
Top 15 starting pitcher next year.
Okay, there's a good question. I probably would put him on the outside. Maybe I have more doubt than others. I'm not quite sure that he's going to be consistent on the level of, you know, the Hamels and, you know,
the Greinkes and stuff.
Right, exactly. Maybe just a couple of, just because he hasn't done it as long as those guys. But if not top 15, certainly top 20.
Would you rather have Matt Harvey or Corey Kluber? And you probably could keep them at similar value this year. You know, like if it's the draft pick you use to acquire them.
This is going
to
sound crazy, but I think I'll go Kluber.
See, I was going to say Harvey, and I don't think it's crazy at all. I think it's a tough choice.
I mean, the guy, he's going to come back from Tommy John surgery. It's not always a slam dunk when these guys immediately come back. They really struggle, and then, you know, it takes them a while to get in. The thing with Tommy John is always the farther you get away from it, the more you look like your old self, not the closer you're coming off the surgery. So
Harvey will have sort of an advantage, though, since he's sitting out a whole year. Like, he's going to be a while removed from the Tommy John surgery. It's
sure,
not like a mid-season
true.
Return or anything like that.
I just worry about game competition. But, I mean, he's a gamer. I know he's a competitor, and he wanted to come back this year. So maybe that's not going to, you know, be a big deal. But I think come draft day, people are going to forget about Matt Harvey. And like, they see Kluber there. And like, oh, man, he had such a good season last year. I could see that.
Other standouts, guys?
Well, yeah, kind of blew it with the definitely blew it with the Hamill pick on our show yesterday, and I'm at a loss really to explain why he has been this bad.
I have a reason.
Go Herc.
He says he's leaving a slider up in the zone, and he knows it.
Now that's very interesting.
That's his best pitch. It's a great pitch.
And and when you go look at the PitchFX data, I mean, that's the one that's really suffered.
Yep.
Since he went to Oakland. But what I saw looking at Brooks baseball was more movement, more spin. Well, that's on Texas Leaguers.
Nice.
So I just thought, oh, okay. So this is sort of a fluke. He's getting more movement on this pitch. But the location's bad, eh?
That's what he said. He said, you know, he knows the problem. He says you're just hanging a slider up there for hitters, and they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, it's a little bit too convenient to just be like, well, he moved to the AL.
Yeah.
He stinks now. I mean, his first start was at the Giants. It was an interleague start. And the other three teams he's faced were Baltimore. That was a terrible start. But at Texas, at Houston without George Springer. I mean, it's not like he's faced juggernaut lineups here. Hamill has a 9.53 ERA, and he's getting clobbered in four starts with the A's. Would you guys consider him actually a buy-low candidate right now?
Actually, no. And I would like to hear, Al's, are any of the Oakland catchers good at framing pitches? Or up there with the elite of the elite?
As far as I know, they're not elite. Right. I'm more aware of the ones who are really good than the ones that are just so-so or really bad.
Right.
And I don't think any of them are especially good at that.
I mean, you know, like I was telling you before, his personal catcher in Chicago was John Baker. Maybe John Baker's not an elite, but John Baker's been around a very long time, so he knows how to call pitching staffs, you know.
Also knows how to pitch.
That is true, too. So, you know, that's always a bonus. I'm not saying John Jasow. I mean, the rest of the Oakland rotation's doing really good. Jasow, whatever. Derek Norris or Stephen Vogt are really, you know, bad catchers. I'm not buying the catcher thing.
Not for a 9.06 ERA or 9.53 ERA in four starts.
Jeff Samardzija had a bad start. I mean, guys are entitled to it. And hey, look, some guys aren't really, you know, good with the change. You know, it could be affecting them. I mean, he's so comfortable with his situation in Chicago.
Do you guys think Brett Anderson or Kevin Gausman can help you down the stretch? A lot.
Gausman much more than Anderson. And I was starting to lose a little bit of faith in Gausman and recommend him as a sit yesterday, and then he was outstanding for most of that start.
And he got squeezed. You walked three, but that inning was just like, that umpire should be ashamed of himself. That's why we have 7-hour, four-inning games, because of that stupid guy. Who I have no idea who he is.
That's his name, that stupid guy.
Yeah, I'm not in a good mood today.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about no strikeouts again. That's just
Thing. Yeah. He's pitching well, but where are the strikeouts? Gausman struck out two Angels in seven innings, gave up three runs on three hits, three walks.
Yeah, and I'll look it up.
Isn't he really a
I don't think he had
two-pitch pitcher, right? Like, isn't he that his thing? He's just a two-pitch pitcher?
Well, he actually throws two types of changeups.
Okay, all right.
So that's a little... You know, he throws it, I think, fastball, changeup mostly, but right. Two types of changeups.
Well, you know I'm a Gausman guy, so I'm definitely over Brett Anderson.
Yeah, I know they're obviously one we're talking like deeper formats here, but yeah. Anderson I wanted to point out because he's been good over his last three starts. He struck out nine Cubs. The only weird thing with Anderson is like he's walked 13 guys so far in 40 and a third innings, and 10 of those have come at home. So when he's on the road, he's like a really good pitcher with the walks and the strikeouts. When he's at home, he just doesn't feel comfortable throwing in the zone. I don't know what it is, but he's walking a lot more batters at home. Regardless, he's got a 3.12 ERA and has been really good over his last three starts in terms of the runs.
I just got to interject here. It cracks me up. Al Melchior has a computer in front of him, but every time he wants to look something up, he goes on his cell phone.
It is weird.
You know, and that's an interesting thing, Adam, that you bring up because, you know, the Rockies were talking to teams about Jorge De La Rosa, and it seems now they really don't want to trade him because he's one of the few pitchers that can pitch in Colorado. So if you find that guy, do you really want to trade him? Even though he may be really old and, you know, you can get good value out of him now?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking up Kevin Gausman's pitch.
No, listen, that was a filler. I did a good job, right?
You.
So we didn't have dead air.
Yeah, we shouldn't have asked a question because then I felt responsible to answer it.
This is just like the Thursday show, just off the wall.
No, let's focus. Let's focus.
So were you saying Anderson is old?
No, I was saying De La Rosa.
Oh, De La Rosa, okay.
Anderson's just been on the DL for like 10 years.
Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Coco Crisp has chronic degenerative changes in his neck. Don't really know exactly what that means. He won't play Friday, but he could be back over the weekend. Meanwhile, Billy Burns started in center field and led off against the lefty. Didn't do much.
He did not steal first base.
He didn't. Brett Laurie could begin a rehab assignment this week. Jason Hayward will be out until at least tomorrow with his back injury. Eric Hosmer's hand is almost fully healed. Andrew Cashner nearing a rehab assignment. Michael Wacha could begin a throwing program next week. Derek Holland made a rehab start. Derek Holland's 24% owned. Last year he was good. 10-9, 3.42 ERA, 189 Ks in 213 innings. He finally started taking baseball more seriously. He was kind of a goofball. But they said take it more seriously, and it worked. But he had a 1.29 whip. That was his best season last year, Holland. Is he a good stash?
Well, I had been stashing him, and then when his timetable got pushed back and I had better stash options, but, you know, if you're getting Paxton off your DL or, you know, somebody, you got a spot opening up, his date's drawing closer now, so I do think Holland's a good stash now.
How about Pineda or Holland?
Pineda.
Yeah, agreed there.
Rafael Soriano was rested yesterday as Drew Storen struggled in getting a save at Miami, but he did get it. Brandon Belt could be back this weekend. Angel Pagan could start a rehab assignment this weekend. Pedro Alvarez sat again with Josh Harrison at third base and Travis Snyder in left field.
And guess who homered last night?
Josh Harrison.
Yeah.
Again.
I know we talked about Pedro Alvarez. Did we talk about him on the podcast yesterday?
Yeah. You can say he was going to Polanco might lose playing time, and Alvarez is
I get the
probably
show's
candidate.
So.
we covered all bases with Pedro Alvarez.
C.J. Wilson should pitch this weekend. Chris Davis was out with a stomach virus.
Sorry, but C.J. Wilson isn't the only pitcher with initials who should pitch this weekend.
P.J. Upton?
T.J. House.
Oh, yeah.
He's replacing Masterson.
Oh, okay. Corey Dickerson sat against the lefty again. Charlie Blackman had three hits. Brandon Barnes was in the lineup. And Drew Stubbs returned to the lineup. Let's go none up, three down. I got three guys who have been really good this year who are struggling.
This really fits your crabby mood.
Oh.
Yeah.
You just got muted. We're never going to hear from Al the rest of the podcast.
No, I it's fine to call me out on that. Stupid jerk. Carlos Gomez. Carlos Gomez is one for his last 21. On the year, he's the number 8 outfielder in points leagues, number 5 in Roto. But since May 1st, nothing terrible here. Number 14 in points leagues, number 9 in Roto.
So is he really three down?
Yeah, because, well, first of all, he's 1 for 21. But I guess the question is, he's got 15 home runs this year, and he hit 7 of them in April. So he's been good, but not great since then. Is he good or is he great? I have lobbied for him to be a first-round pick next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I was the last one aboard the go-go train. And I'm not getting off now because it's kind of funny that it's the power that's deserted him, you know, relative to batting average. And it was the batting average I was always holding out on, not thinking that that was legit. And I thought Gomez has arrived as a pretty good power source. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, though.
No, I buy into him.
Where was he hitting at the beginning of the season? Because he's moved around lately.
Yeah.
And maybe that's messing with his swing. Maybe when he's atop the lineup, he's not really supposed to swing for power. He's supposed to be the guy that gets on base. In the middle of the lineup, he can hit for more power.
That could be part of it. I mean, I'll look up his numbers now. That did occur to me. They have moved him around quite a bit, and now he's batting leadoff. I preferred him in the middle of the order.
It's the Austin Jackson syndrome.
There we go. But Austin Jackson's actually hitting. He wasn't hitting anything in the middle of the lineup.
So Carlos Gomez, good player or great player rest of season?
I'm going to say great. And wherever he's batting, I think we'll see more power.
Now, Brandon Moss, let's finish up on Gomez here. As a leadoff hitter, he's got 12 home runs.
All right. Well, there goes that theory.
Yeah.
He's no Austin Jackson.
He's got 12 home runs in 61 games as a leadoff hitter and 3 home runs in 37 games as a number 4 hitter. So, Brandon Moss, number 12 first baseman in points leagues, number 10 in Roto. Just doing enough every now and then to be productive. But since June 1st, so 2 months for Moss, number 21 first baseman in points, number 19 in Roto. One more thing here. He's regressed to a point where his slash line now looks a lot like it looked last year. However, last year, he was number 23 in points, number 12 in Roto. Big difference.
Sure.
So what's different this year? Well, he's batting pretty much every day against lefties, whereas last year he was sitting a lot, and that affects you a lot more in the points leagues than it does in the roto leagues. So Brandon Moss, good player, great player, or slightly above average player. What do you think?
I'll give him a good rating. Yeah, what he was doing earlier this season, I mean, he really had a lot of production for fantasy owners last year, too. I think he's in that, Al, you can correct me here if you disagree, maybe he's in the 10 to 20 range for first baseman. And
well, that's too big of a range, though.
What's up? No, I mean, because I think I may have had him at 15 and then moved him up to 12, and I think I may have moved him back again. He deserves credit. He deserves to be in your lineup, but I just don't think he's ever going to really break the top 10 for me.
Brandon Moss.
Yeah. Value-wise, I agree with that. And, he's, as you point out here, he's got pretty much the same level of production that he had last year when you wash out the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And, I think he falls a little short of top 10 with that level. But he's still a must-start in roto and
sure.
Pretty close to it in points leagues.
I don't know if you can look this up, but I want to see his average against left-handed pitchers over the last 2 months. And I don't know where to do that. So that because he was really, I think, overachieving in that category, like Justin Morneau at the beginning of the year.
Try situational stats on Fangraphs might have it.
Right, no. But to combine those 2 months together, I mean, we could look at...
Well, we could just do our own math.
Oh,
right?
Month by month? Yeah. All right, so look at it month by month. Three down, number three. I'm actually a little concerned about this one here. Watching a few Reds games lately, I kind of feel like the league has caught up a little bit to Billy Hamilton, and now he has to make an adjustment. Billy Hamilton, since the All-Star break, is batting 174 with three steals in 12 games. He's 2 for his last 20. He's got very little lineup protection at this point because the Reds are just battered. I wouldn't say very little. He still has Frazier and Bruce, but right now they're all very cold. And, you know, you're like Chris Heisey or Santiago, like just bums are batting number 2 for them at times. So Billy Hamilton sat yesterday just to get a rest. Anybody concerned about him?
No. As I said on yesterday's show, baseball players go through hot and cold streaks, and I buy into your theory that, yeah, maybe the league's adjusting to him after his hot streak, but he wasn't, you know, fantastic to begin the season. So baseball is funny like that. You know, you get hot and then you get a little bit of a market correction. They're in a pennant race, and hopefully they'll get Votto back. And hopefully they'll get Brandon Phillips back. So the line of protection will be there.
Probably not for like another 4 weeks.
Is it another 4 weeks? I thought it was mid-August.
I think they pushed early September. Okay. To late August.
Late August, okay.
Obviously, that could change, but...
Yeah. More concerning for me was Billy Hamilton's stolen base rate. I mean, he gets thrown out a lot for a guy that's fast.
Did you know what? I don't know where I said it. I think I said this on the video show. I don't know if I said this on the podcast. I was watching Yankees-Reds game right after the All-Star break, and on the Yankees broadcast, they mentioned what a Reds broadcaster had said. He said at that time about half of Billy Hamilton's caught stealings were on pickoff throws to first, where he then took off for second and got thrown out just because he doesn't know the pitchers that well.
So
it's more him learning the pitchers
than
him getting thrown out by a catcher.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting. Next category here. Do you trust these guys? They're all owned in 70% of leagues or more. And tell me if you trust them for the next 2 months. Mark Burley, good start yesterday.
No.
In the way that I normally trust him, selected 2 start weeks.
Hiroki Kuroda,
yes,
who was terrible last August and September.
Trust him.
Yeah, he got his worst months out of the way earlier this year.
Well, but he wore down last year, and they have been throwing him, they have been pitching him deeper into games lately. I think it's a bad formula. He threw 115 pitches last night. That's a season high. 7 of his last 8 starts, 99 pitches or more. And that was very rare for him in the beginning of the year. And they have talked about it openly about how they're worried about Kuroda down the stretch because he broke down last year. He just got tired. So that's why I brought
it up.
But
it is more recently that he's been pitching deeper, right?
I mean, 7 of the last 8 games.
Right. So
yes, they saved him up early.
Yeah. Actually, no, I do trust Kuroda. Not every week as a one-star guy, but, you know, probably on a little higher level than Mark Burley. Corona's been very, very good lately.
Okay. Alfredo Simon.
Yes.
You trust him?
Oh, absolutely.
And actually, I trust him hardly at all.
Why do you trust him?
He has been fantastic. I know this is like he's pushing his career limit for innings, but as his manager said, hey, the guy's been around the majors forever. He's old. He's an old veteran. He says he better learn how to pitch with more innings and deep into the season.
Yeah, I don't have durability concerns with Simon, but I think he's been one of the luckiest pitchers so far with strand rate and BABIP. So,
okay, fair enough.
I think he's going to be pretty ordinary pitcher, and I think in some home starts he'll be worse than ordinary.
So, are you guys aware of all the buzz right now?
No,
this is a blockbuster. Not confirmed. Multiple reports.
All right.
Jamie Eisenberg with the info here.
What we got?
John Lester and Johnny Gomes for someone on the Oakland Athletics. You want to take a guess?
Jason Hamill?
Yeah, Jason Hamill. Yoenis Cespedes.
Get out.
Multiple reports.
Why would they make that trade?
It's happened. It's happened.
It's confirmed?
I've got Dan Connolly of the Baltimore Sun.
Holy Lester crap. They got Cespedes? For Lester? Would you, half a damn season of Lester?
Wait, would you rather do that trade, or there was one reported with the Cardinals, not the Cardinals, but maybe if they, because there's price for Shelby Miller and Oscar Tavares, what happens if they went Lester for those two? I think I would rather have that trade.
Cespedes trade?
No, Lester for Tavares and Shelby Miller than Cespedes.
I think I'd rather have Cespedes. I'd take the known quantity. You don't know what you're getting from Shelby Miller and Tavares.
Oscar Tavares is Al. You got it. I mean, he's going to be a superstar.
Prospects are prospects, man. I'd like to know what I'm getting. Is he going to be better than Cespedes? Cespedes is a good player.
Shelby Miller, listen. Shelby Miller's not that bad of a pitcher. All right, Shelby Miller's got a lot of talent. Yes, he's learning the major league ropes, but
I agree.
I'm not ready to give up on him.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I do. I don't think you're wrong.
Right.
But they're both good options.
I can't believe the A's,
man.
Because,
I know they're going for it. I give them credit for going for it.
And
but Cespedes is a lot to give up.
Right, but they can't really afford to, I guess, sign him to another. He's going to want more money than he got the first time for his four-year deal. He's going to.
Cespedes?
Yeah. And the Red Sox are a team that can offer him that kind of money.
He's a free agent after next season?
It's next season, right, Al? Yeah, I thought it was a four-year deal. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lester's a free agent after this season.
Right.
Damn, man. The A's, three starting pitchers they've added now. Samardzija, Lester, and Hamill.
Brad Pitt can't take it anymore. Brad Pitt needs to win.
What does this mean for the A's rotation? Who's gonna leave?
Jesse Chavez. He's been bad lately. Well, no?
No. I agree.
My gosh.
I mean, but I just have to wonder if this deal gets made, if Jason Hamill had a good start yesterday.
So they have Gray, Kazmir, Lester, Samardzija as their top four in some order.
And they'll still exit in the first round of the playoffs.
I don't know about that. Not anymore. That's amazing. Cespedes value. Same? Better? Worse? Gotta be better, right?
I think he'll do damage in that ballpark.
He's probably going to hit 1,000 doubles.
Well, I actually think probably a little worse because, the home runs may not improve. Get probably some more doubles, and I think the run production is going to suffer. They're tearing that team apart.
Now, and they're playing for nothing. Now, the other thing about going to the AL East is four out of the five ballparks are really good. So that helps, whereas the AL West has three bad ballparks for hitters. Just saying. Nobody wants to comment. Okay.
No, it's just mind blown. I'm just trying to put this all together.
Listen,
here.
I'm sorry. Whatever happened.
End up thinking, what does the Oakland outfield look like now? Yeah. So you got Reddick, assuming he stays healthy. And, I mean, it's good for Billy Burns.
Well, you could go Reddick, I mean, who's their center?
Chris.
But I'm saying if he doesn't come back.
He's got degenerative neck problems.
Yeah, Reddick, Moss, maybe, but who plays center?
And who plays first if Moss goes to.
They play Kaspo at first a lot, or they have at times. I mean, they move these guys around.
Well, at least they're not the most confusing team in the world.
But the more I think about this really is great for Billy Burns, because if Crisp isn't healthy, who else is there that can play center until Gentry's healthy?
Well, they do have Johnny Gomes to be an outfielder, but not a center fielder.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, right, and Gentry's on the DL.
Brad Pitt knows what he's doing, man.
And I would say I don't know how this trade they hopefully they feel good about Crisp, or else they're leaving themselves very thin at center field.
Or they just make another deal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They could make another deal. Do you trust Dallas Keuchel?
Absolutely.
I do.
Do you trust Phil Hughes?
I don't.
I still do.
Discuss.
This start was not great, but you know, it was a quality start. It wasn't terrible. And Hughes has really kept to the same formula all year long, which is throw with outstanding elite level control and keep the home runs in check. And as long as that second part of the formula is there, I think he's going to rebound.
I dropped him in a 12-team format. You can go pick him up.
I which league? Well, I'll do my own research.
All right, there you go.
Do you trust Danny Duffy? We walked six yesterday, but Duffy has been very good in terms of keeping runs off the board, and he only walked seven batters combined in his previous five starts before yesterday.
I'm going to go no for the fact that he's getting to the point where he's reaching his innings, like as far as he's never pitched this much in his career, especially at the major league level. Is he going to start to wear down? Listen, Adam, I'm sorry. Whatever happened to this headset? It's painful to wear.
Slides.
Okay.
It does?
It's like the most uncomfortable
thing
in the world.
You ever notice how I'm taking it on and off all the time when I'm wearing that one?
It is not comfortable.
You should have told me that.
It slides to the back of your head while you're wearing it.
It's very uncomfortable.
And the listeners are very interested in this.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right, next category is called We're Going Streaking! These guys are streaking.
Through the quad?
Yeah. Brett Gardner, four home runs in his last three games.
That's your boy.
Josh Harrison, four home runs in his last four games. And Lucas Duda, five home runs in eight games, and he was robbed of another home run by Ben Revere on a great catch. I don't know what else to say about these guys.
I think I would take Lucas Duda over Brandon Moss right now. Rest of season.
Nah. So, all right. So you're the Moss owner, and you're swapping him for Duda?
If Duda's there, I would do it.
Yeah, I would not Duda deal.
Duda is awesome, man. Ever since I got rid of the hitting coach, he's back to Lucas Duda.
I mean, I'm finding some way to get Duda, but not that way.
Josh Harrison, of these three guys, Josh Harrison was the one I was least impressed with, just kind of looking at what he's done. Because, like, before these four homers, he hadn't homered since June 21st. I don't think you guys consider him a power hitter. Gardner, even if he doesn't hit home runs, I think is going to be really valuable. Duda obviously looks, really good. Harrison, I don't know, just feels to me more like an extended hot streak. How about you guys?
For the power, sure. I don't know where it's come from. But I do trust him to hit 290, 300, and steal some bases.
Yeah, I like him. He's available in one of our leagues, like our podcast league, and I'm not picking him up.
Along those same lines.
If he were shortstop eligible, maybe.
Can we finally give up on Brock Holt? Is it finally time to just say this? He's done.
No, I don't think
so. I think so.
All right, that category was about the red hot hitters. That was we're going streaking. This one is we're going streaking.
Adam doesn't even want to talk about it. He's just like, let's move on.
You're ruining my category now.
All right, go. I'm sorry, buddy.
We're going streaking but keeping our undies on.
Don't make
it
cranky.
This show is just chaos.
These guys
chaos.
Are streaking, but to a lesser extent. Xander Bogaerts, last 11 games, 317, two homers, three doubles. One walk, nine strikeouts.
And it's Xander.
That's what I said. Adam Dunn homered for the second straight day. And Carlos Beltran, last 20 games, batting .307, five homers, 14 RBI. So Bogaerts, Dunn, and Beltran. Are you excited about any of these guys?
Do I even have to say?
I know you're excited about
Bogaerts. I was about Bogaerts when he was hitting 125.
Yeah, blind loyalty.
I'm not excited, but yeah, maybe slightly vindicated. But I wasn't touting Bogaerts, I think, to the extent that you were.
Yeah.
But he wasn't droppable, and this is what he can do.
Do Bogaerts or Beltran need to be owned in more than the 75% of leagues they're owned in?
No, I don't think so. I think that those numbers sound just right to me.
Padre power! San Diego 12, St. Louis 1. Alexi Amarista went 3-for-3 with a double, three runs scored, and his eighth steal. Yanher Vasilarte, 46% owned, 4-for-5 with two RBI and a run. Jed Jerko, 44% owned, 3-for-5 with a home run, a double, four RBI, and two runs scored. Will Venable, 8% owned, 2-for-4 with a home run, and he drove in four. What do you want to talk about here with the Padres?
Jed Jerko. And yeah, there was a long pregnant pause there. Because again, I'm not sure that there's, I'm not buying into the Solarte power. I'm still waiting and seeing. I'm Will Venable.
Yep.
But I guess that was the biggest eye opener for me to see him actually hit a home run. And but Jerko, yeah, I think, you know, it's time to, if you don't have him, it's time to get him.
Yeah, he is underowned at 44%. Says he feels good like he did at the beginning of last year. Not saying he's going to go crazy, but he's capable of it. Rotation time. Zach Wheeler, good. Giovanni Gallardo, good. Tanner Roark, good. Tim Lincecum, bad.
All I have to say here is just I'm at the point with Tim Lincecum now where I no longer respond to this kind of start and say, oh, it's Tim Lincecum. And I'm actually more in the type of response of, anybody can have a start like this once in a while. Like,
but now it's two in a row.
Anybody can have two starts like this. I'm not totally down on him again.
Zach Wheeler, he was a victim of bad luck early in the season. And he, as Terry Collins said, he didn't even have his best command yesterday, and just shows you how good he is when it's going his way.
How about Jesse Hahn, guys? Who's buying this? He's been really good. He's got a 2.01 ERA.
Yeah, he's fantastic, but when are they going to shut him down? I mean,
4 to 9 more starts.
Yeah, really. It's really...
Is he a must-own? He's 77% owned.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go fall a little bit short of that. I think this kind of start is the kind of start I was expecting from Hahn all along. Effective, but 3 strikeouts in 7 innings, a lot of ground balls. That's the Jesse Hahn I expected to see. He'll be really good for you, but particularly in his one-start weeks, you're going to have better options sometimes.
Jesse Hahn, Wade Miley, Kevin Gausman, Charlie Morton, rank them.
Hahn, Morton, Gausman, Miley.
Oh, Morton, really?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to explain that to me. I'm off the Morton bandwagon now. I used it for a few starts, and then...
Oh, okay.
Seems a little odd, Al. Yeah. There's not much upside. To put him ahead of Gausman?
I have both of them in leagues, and I use Morton more.
Well, right. Okay.
I'm kind of waiting to see Gausman have better control, more strikeouts. I know his results have mostly been pretty good, Gausman, but Morton, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, this start raised his ERA, but you can count on him for that.
The last few starts have raised his ERA.
Well, actually, I was going to say wins, not wins. Yeah. That terrible run support. He should be getting wins.
I just quick Hahn, Gausman, Miley, Morton.
In the bullpen, Kenley Jansen gave up a home run. He had thrown 13 straight scoreless appearances. Adam Ottavino got a save. LaTroy Hawkins pitched 2 innings the previous game. Addison Reed gave up a three-run homer to Devin Mesoraco. Only 1 run was charged to him. That was the first earned run allowed by Reed since July 8th. Brad Ziegler, meanwhile, has struggled since the All-Star break and gave up 2 hits and a run yesterday.
He just wants to close already.
And Brandon Workman is 5% owned. He was bad. Kobe Lewis is 6% owned. And he's given up 3 earned runs once, 2 earned runs 4 times, and 11 earned runs once in his last 6 starts. So he had 1 terrible start, but 5 of his last 6 have been 2 earned runs 4 times and 3 earned runs once.
Hey, now that the Red Sox traded Dubron, did you see anything about who's replaced him in the rotation?
He hasn't been in the rotation.
No, I'm saying, though, Lester, excuse me.
Oh.
I misspoke. Lester, now Lester.
No, given that we just saw that, I mean, we could speculate because they got a whole bunch of prospects.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Renato's coming up, that's a guy maybe worth picking
actually,
up.
You know what? I take that back, because yesterday when Lester appeared to be on the verge of being traded,
they said no,
I saw something about Webster.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't, you know, make any definitive assumptions right now.
Sorry for the tangent.
Kobe Lewis, any interest?
No.
Nope.
But you know what Marco Estrada says about Kobe Lewis?
What?
Man, that guy gives up a lot of home runs.
Wow.
All right, injuries, news, and notes, part 2. Nate Jones had Tommy John surgery. He had a back surgery earlier in the year, so it's been a tough year for him.
So I could drop him now?
Yeah, I think so. Eugenio Suarez day-to-day with a back injury. Nick Castellanos returned to the lineup. He homered. Brian Roberts has been sitting with general soreness and badness. Mike Napoli was back in the lineup with a swollen finger. He DH'd. David Ortiz sat. And Ubaldo Jimenez could be back next week. Let's grade some trades. Kevin Stovall says, I traded Stroman and Headley for Shields.
Okay, that's a C+. I get it. He's going to get more innings from Shields.
Yeah.
Not bad.
C.
Darren Meyer, grade the trade in a 12-team 5x5 Roto League. Give up Miguel Cabrera, Edwin Encarnacion, and Bryce Harper. Giving up Miguel Cabrera, Encarnacion, and Harper. getting Felix Hernandez, John Lester, and Scherzer.
He's giving up three bats to get three pitchers.
I hope he's stacked in his offense.
And Roto too.
I guess
it's a B. It's you got good value back, but you gave up a lot of hitters.
Feels like a C to me, but
I would give it a C minus even. Yeah,
I'd rather in general have great hitters than great pitchers. From Aaron in Lexington, Kentucky, he says 10-team head-to-head points redraft league. Oh man, this is an A. Carlos Gomez, I give David Wright and Shin-Soo Choo.
I had them flipped and I'm like, what are you talking about? Wow. This is awful. No, you're right. It's great. It's an A.
Getting Gomez for Wright and Choo.
B.
B? In a 10-team league?
I just wanted to get him out.
Well, you worked. Gabe in Long Beach, California says, hey, Ted, Danny, and Buddy. Ted, Danny, and Buddy. I don't know.
No.
Buddy's that, isn't that the big gorilla from that movie, Buddy, right? Was that the name of it?
Sure.
Okay. We're talking about bad movies we've seen. We missed that segment. But,
Maybe tomorrow. 11-team 5x5 Roto League with OBP and total bases instead of home runs and average. I'm leading almost all hitting categories. So I give up Goldschmidt and Wheeler. I get David Ortiz and Greinke.
So he's given up Goldschmidt?
Goldschmidt and Wheeler for Ortiz and Greinke.
Goldschmidt and Wheeler. I don't know. Paul Goldschmidt's. I would not make that trade. I'd keep Paul Goldschmidt.
C minus. It's close. Yeah. It's close to even. But yeah, I wouldn't do it because I love gold. They asked for it in the email.
They did.
I am looking for some more grade the trades in my email here as I ran out of time. So.
How about Al Melchior's trade in a 2014 Dynasty?
No. I'm sorry. I want to get to the emails here to help the listeners.
Yeah, I've already made the trade.
All right.
This is from Joe. It says, 10-team NL-only Roto Keeper League. See, these trades are impossible. I give...
My trade was very simple.
Garrett Cole.
Cole?
For a dollar. No, it's too many details, Joe. I can't read those on the air. I'm sorry. It's just people would hate them. And
I'd screw
confused.
It up.
Yeah.
Grade the trade from Bobby. 12-team Roto Keeper League. Give up Steven Strasburg for $16. And he says, a keeper that I need to deal. And I get Brandon McCarthy and Addison Russell for $1 each.
No, I'd keep Strasburg for $16.
Nick, he said he can't keep Strasburg?
He says he needs to deal him.
Oh.
I don't... But it's his last year or something?
But if you're competing for the title, I'd keep Strasburg.
So it was Russell and who's the
Brandon McCarthy?
McCarthy. I'll give it a C. We actually had a conversation right before this podcast about similar trades in our dynasty league.
Yeah.
That's kind of in line with what we're seeing in that league. Yeah.
From Ryan, 11-man Roto League. I just traded Chris Davis and Dustin Pedroia for Jose Altuve and Casey McGee. Gave up Chris Davis with a C and Pedroia for Altuve and McGee in a Roto League.
I was going to go D.
All right, there you go. Even though those two are slumping.
You're getting
the
best player, right? Altuve?
And McGee's been...
Davis could be.
Yeah, he could be. I'm scared of the Orioles. The fact that they've been able to do this with Chris Davis being so bad or so sick.
Scared in a good way or scared in a bad way?
I'm scared of them as a Yankees fan. Keeper League Roto style. I get Bryce Harper, 16th round keeper. I give Adrian Beltre, who's not keeper eligible, Hanley Ramirez, who's a third round keeper, and Cole Calhoun, who's a 14th round keeper. I'm out of it, and I'm playing for the future. So he gives up Beltre, Hanley in the third, and Calhoun in the 14th to get Harper in the 16th.
I do that trade. Harper, 16th round pick. I'll give it a B.
I'll give it a C-. I don't really like it.
And finally, Doug says, why am I and 85% of other owners still holding on to Gene Segura? I never play him unless I have to. Should I dump him for Asdrubal Cabrera?
If Cabrera gets traded today, I heard he's maybe the Blue Jays. That'd be interesting.
I'd rather have Segura. just in the hope that the last 2 months
especially
gives
for
you
a bench spot.
Give you a bunch of steals, yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if you have a bench spot, Cabrera's who he is.
I didn't read that story. I just saw the headline in the Blue Jays. I don't know why the Blue Jays would want him. They have a shortstop. But
they play him second.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's played shortstop.
No, that's what the report said. All right, we got to go?
They had Goins and Ghosts at the bottom of their order yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The go-go combo.
Right, well. Hey, all right, just to let you know, I did pay to see the movie Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg. That's probably the worst.
I did, too. And the movie The Sixth Man.
Oh.
That was a really bad one, too. Oh, man. Okay, thanks, you guys. Bye.